Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
We're building something here, y'all. Worship, we're building something. I could tell there are worshipers being birthed in this house. People that are learning the value of communing with God in a worship service. That it's not just a checking off of things that we've done or things to do during a week. It is awesome to see people come into launch classes. It's awesome to see on Friday night we had a group of young believers show up for a devotional. That means there was no haze, no light show, none of all of that was gone. It was just tables, Bibles, and we dove into the Word of God. We're building something here. Seeing people join the church, but most importantly, giving their life to Christ. We've baptized more people in the last 6 or 7 months than we have in the last 2 or 3 years combined. Why is that? Because we're building something here. You're a part of that. I'm a part of that. And I want to encourage you that we've got a lot to build and we don't have a whole lot of time to build it. You've been watching the news. It's not just what's happening overseas in Russia and Ukraine, and it's not just what's happening on the Gaza Strip. Y'all, they're having a lot of earthquakes in Texas now. That's like end time stuff, guys. Jesus is coming soon. And I'm excited that he's coming, but then I'm going to tell you what. My heart starts beating a little faster and I get nervous when I realize that there's about 6 billion people on this planet that don't know who Jesus is. And it is our job, praise God, to not preach on Sunday, but to live a life Monday through Saturday in such a way, praise God, that brings them to Jesus. So when we say we are saying we are, that we is equals him and us. What we are doing here is pointless unless God shows up. I'm glad that when we were singing today and worshiping today, that I could feel the Holy Spirit in this room. I'm glad that you showed up, and I hope you're glad that I'm showed up. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if either of us show up if he doesn't show up. But I'm grateful that he has partnered with us. The vertical relationship gives way to horizontal relationships. The vertical impact gives way to horizontal impact. When we talk about that word building, we're building something here. Here's the thing, church. If God is not in it, it is not worth building. That's why everything that we do here, I make sure that I measure it against God. Is God pleased with this? Is this something that God would be involved in? Is God going to show up? I don't mind having golf tournaments, and I don't mind taking the kids to the lake or the river. I don't mind all of that stuff, but we got to make sure that God is the central focus of everything that we do. Psalm 127 said, unless the Lord builds the house, the workers of the builders, the work of the builders is wasted. If God is not involved, this is all just a waste of time. If God is not in the center, it is all a waste of time. Last session we left off in Matthew 16:18, that upon this rock Jesus said, I will build my church. That's the revelation when Peter said to Jesus, I know who you are. Sitting here on a Sunday and watching online today, I want to remind you that you know who Jesus is. And when we know who Jesus is, Jesus said, it is that revelation that I need to build in and to build on. There are many things that Jesus is blessing. This is what Cruz said. But there is only one thing that Jesus is building, and that is the church. Remember that Jesus is actively building the church. Not a building, but he is building people. Let me encourage you with this for the next few moments, that the church is not a building. The church is not an organization. The church is not a denomination. How many of you grew up in a denomination? Praise God, not very many of us. That's a good thing. That means we don't have to unteach you things. Because denominations have a lot of man-made rules. I'm not saying they're all bad, but there's a lot of things they start telling you got to do this and you need to do this. And it is denomination. It is a board. It is a man saying you got to do this. Let me tell you something. If we ever tell you to do something that is not backed up in the Word of God, you have permission to tell us, no, thank you, I don't think so. So we want to make sure that we understand Living Way. That's what, when I had surgery this past week, and I was witnessing to all the doctors, and I was witnessing to all of the nurses, and inviting them to church. And one of them watched on Wednesday night, and I think one of them is supposed to be here today. And I kept telling them, because they'd ask, well, what denomination are you? Oh, we're non-denominational. She said, what does that mean? I said, that means that we believe the Bible from cover to cover, that we love Jesus and we follow Jesus. And most of them shook their head, oh, that's great, because they understand we don't want to be manipulated and run by people. We want to be led by God, praise God. We're building something here. I've got bad news for those of us that came today to just check off a box. The church is not a service. We always talk when we leave here, oh, we had good church today. Church is not what we're doing here from 11 to 12:30. Church is the Spirit of God showing up to where we are and us showing up to where He is. That's why you can have church, praise God, on a Monday afternoon. You can have high Holy Ghost church on a Tuesday on the way to work. The church is not programs. As much as I love VBS, as much I love youth camp, as much I love conferences and all of those things are meant to be resources to build and edify and encourage you, but that is not the church. The church is not property. The 40 acres we're sitting on today, this is not the church, because I got news for you right now. 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months after the rapture, this will no longer be a church. You say, well, what about all the people that are trying to get right after the rapture? They're going to find out what we always knew along. It was never about coming to a building. It was about getting Jesus to wherever you are. If you've ever been in the FLC next door, I don't know if Bishop's ever shared this before. The bank had to sign off on our plans because Bishop borrowed $1 million with a variable interest rate in the 1980s. That interest rate floated to 22%. For those of you that don't know math very well, 22% interest on $1 million is $220,000 a year just interest. It's about 20 grand a year just in interest, nothing going to principal, nothing going to insurance. And so when we built the building next door, the bank said, we need to approve those plans. And you know why they needed to approve the plans? Because they didn't think we'd be able to pay the bill. And they said, we need to make sure that you build a building that we can turn into a car lot. We need to make sure that your sanctuary can be a good show floor. So we're going to have to approve. Well, thanks be to God, here we are 48 years later. And they had to build the car lots across the freeway. Why? Because we built something here that we're building to stand the test of time. No matter what culture says, no matter what, this is a place to meet Jesus. But the church is not all of those things. The church is people. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I am the church. See, when you know that you are the church, and it's not, the verse is not in my notes, but I love that verse that says that you are the temple, praise God, of the Holy Spirit. That we carry the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Guess what? You have access to that at your jobs tomorrow. You have access to that young person in the locker room tomorrow afternoon. When you are in the waiting room and anxiety begins to show up and a panic attack begins to happen because of a pending surgery or appointment with a doctor that you are expecting foreboding bad news, I am here to tell you the same Spirit. You are the temple. You are the church. So have a little church in the waiting room. Praise God. I've been known to worship the best on days other than Sunday. I've been known to preach the best. My horses have heard me preach better than anybody's ever heard me. Because I understand church is not relegated to a property on a Sunday at a certain time. I am the church. I am filled with His Spirit. I follow Jesus. And so that changes everything. Jesus gave us three promises in verse 19. After He says the gates of hell will not prevail against, I love that. He said, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He said, I'm going to build a people that are an unstoppable force. And when hell tries to attack them, when hell tries to come against them, when the devil is after them, it will not work. The weapon might be formed against you, but it won't stand, praise God. And I love this because mature believers understand that we are not being attacked, but the Bible literally calls us to attack hell and go back and get everything the devil stole from us, because it says the gates of hell will not prevail against me. That's not me trying to get out. That's me trying to get in to get everything he stole in 23, everything he stole in my past, relationships he's messed up, money he's stolen, past he's stolen. He said, you are unstoppable as the church. That's why you don't need the church for an exorcism. You are the church. You hear a bump in the night, you just, in the name of Jesus. If there is somebody in my entry room, you better know I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and I got a 357. But I believe the Holy Ghost will do what the 357 can't do, praise God. You start speaking in tongues, they're not going to want anything to do with you. You start declaring the word of God, they're not going to have anything to do. You start saying, devil, the blood of Jesus is against you. You are under my feet. Hell will not prevail. Verse 19. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. 14 years ago, Manny and I were able to purchase our first house after renting for 10 years. There was never not much of a greater day. The day I got saved, praise God. The day I got married, praise God. The day I had kids, praise God. But getting that house was almost as good as getting these two. But when they handed me the keys, I knew that it finally had come true. But check this out. Some of us are holding the keys, but we've never opened the door. Some of us have access, but we have never stepped in. Can I encourage somebody? You have access to authority. Step into that authority. You have access through your prayer life. You have access through talking to God. Keys to the kingdom is the first promise that God gave us. Then he said, I've given you power that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That is all that prayer is. Binding one thing and loosing the next. God, I bind cancer in the name of Jesus and I loose healing in the name of Jesus. God, I bind poverty in the name of Jesus and I loose prosperity in the name of Jesus. God, I bind addiction in the name of Jesus and I loose freedom in the name of Jesus. God, I bind depression, I bind anxiety, I bind all of those and I loose joy. It's binding and loosing. I bind that spirit that is controlling them against me, and I loose, God, a spirit of love. Binding and loosing. We're building something. We'll probably end here today. We're building something. Somebody say something. That definition, something, is an exceptional person. An exceptional person or thing. Not something that is normal. Not something that is ordinary. I wrestle, as a pastor, I wrestle with what needs to be said over the pulpit or done on this platform and what doesn't need to be done on the platform. I've had friends of mine say, man, you're too Pentecostal. I don't think there's such thing as too Pentecostal. That's like saying you've got too much power. There's no such thing as having too much power. I think we're dealing with anemic, lazy, lethargic, apathetic churches anyway. They need more power. And if we're going to come down on one side or the other, I'd rather come down on the side that has too much power than the one that has not enough power. But I say that to say that I've struggled with in the past, should I speak in tongues from the pulpit in the microphone? Because there's a lot of people that don't understand it and it freaks you out. You know, there's a lot of things, if we didn't talk about the blood, if we never mentioned the devil, if we didn't talk about hell, we didn't talk about speaking in tongues, we didn't talk about the miraculous, we didn't talk about those things. You know, we could fill this building 2 or 3 times a week. But the problem is I would rather half fill it a couple times a week and have people's lives transform. Have people's lives changed, have people's lives literally start matching what Jesus told us to live like, than to have a building full of people that like to patty cake 3 or 4 points and then go have brunch or lunch and leave exactly the same. I need to be challenged when I'm in the presence. I need to be inspired when I'm in the presence that I am not what I need to be. I am not what I used, but I'm not what I need to be. God, challenge me, convict me, God, in this place. We're building something of value. This is a valuable moment in somebody's life today, in the room or online. So, an exceptional person or a thing with great value. At Living Way, we are building something, and we are building four things. Four things. Write these down. For those of you that have a prayer life, I need you to start praying over these four things. There's four things we're building. And if what we're building does not impact these four things, we need to stop doing it. Number one, we're building people. We're building people. We're building people. We're building kingdom. We're building culture. We're building future. Those are the four things. If what we are doing does not, and so when we talk about ministry, we talk about serving, we talk about the food bank. How does the food bank affect? The food bank feeds people and meets a physical need. But it also opens them up to the love of the people of God. And they might have been church hurt, they might have been deconstructing, or they might have never been to church before. But when we hand them a bag of food, now they're saying, this church is not like the other church. These people are not like the people that hurt me. These people are answering a prayer that I prayed to a God that I was questioning whether he existed or not by giving me food. We're affecting people. We're coming after your kids and your grandkids. That's why we started this service like we are doing it these last 2 years, because we're coming after kids and we're coming after your grandkids. There are people that are over the age of 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. They love Jesus and that they don't need Living Way to live for Jesus and make it to heaven. But we know that there's about a million people that are under the age of 50 or 60 years old that have never said yes to Jesus, that have never heard the gospel really preached, that have never gotten outside of a denomination, have never left the Catholic Church, that are going to stumble in here, or they're going to stumble across your path somewhere else, and they're going to hear Jesus. They're going to feel Jesus. They're going to experience church without ever coming to church. We're building people. We're building kingdom. When I say we're building kingdom, listen, every altar call, we are unloading hell and we are loading heaven. We are giving eviction notice to the devil that we don't need that place in hell anymore, because we are switching sides today, praise God. When we say we're building kingdom, not only are we building a church, not only are we having all of these events that we can draw eyeballs to what God is doing in Living Way, but we are literally building kingdom. The Bible talks about storing up treasures in heaven. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to meet thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that didn't say yes to Christ here, but said yes to Christ somewhere out there because of what happened here. Building kingdom. Building culture. Culture is a buzzword in church, is a buzzword in the world. Building a culture. We are building a culture in this place where impossible doesn't exist. There's a church in Los Angeles. Give me two more minutes. 2 minutes, Tyler, to start playing me out like I'm at the Grammys. There's a church in LA called the Dream Center. Anybody ever heard of the Dream Center? The Dream Center is a 24-hour church. It literally stays open. It never closes. Feeds, I think, 32,000 meals a week in the heart of L.A. It not only houses, but it gets GEDs, gives them college training. It rescues young ladies and young men that are being sex trafficked. It rescues prostitution away from their pimps. All of those, it's a radical church. But where they have church is a place called Angela's Temple. And Angela's Temple was founded by a woman named Amy Simple McPherson. And Amy Simple McPherson was an amazing woman of God. This was many, many decades ago. And I just read this testimony again yesterday, and I thought I'd share it today. She was preaching one day in L.A. and said something to the effect of, God wants to do a creative miracle in this room before he leaves. A creative miracle is when science is not used, medicine is not used, surgeries are not used. God just does a creative miracle. Now, I'm here to tell you, I love doctors and I love nurses. I had surgery this week, so I am not in any way demeaning that. All I care about at the end of it is I want to be healed and healthy, praise God. Whether God uses nurses, good men and women, and doctors and medicine, or God heals me while I'm preaching, I just want to be healed, healthy, and whole, praise God. So she said, I believe God wants to do a creative miracle. She said that, and for the next 30 minutes, people just began to pray. People began to intercede. People began to worship. And she said, I believe that somebody needs to receive a creative miracle, and nobody would come forward until finally a woman came forward that was carrying a baby that was underneath a blanket. And when she took the blanket off of the baby was a torso with no legs and no arms and a disfigured face. Man, that's a creative miracle needed. She prayed the prayer of faith. And before everybody's eyes, legs and feet grew. Hands and arms grew. And that disfigured face took form. And that baby with no arms and no legs and a disfigured face, that mother carried a perfectly healthy baby out of that church service. I got a couple points to make with this. There's people watching online. There's people in this room today saying, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe it because it happened. The baby believed it because it grew up to be a normal person, no disabilities. The mother believed it. Every believer believed it that was there in the room. And here's the thing. If you don't believe it, no worries. It will never happen to you. You'll never have a creative miracle. But I want to build a culture where when people walk in here, hey, can you imagine that miracle happening here? The next Sunday, we'd have to have 5 services. Because you'd have 50 babies just like that that show up. You'd have people with cancer, with HIV. It would travel fast. You say, will people really come? Number one, all of you would witness it. And then you would be going to work, not talking about Taylor Swift and Kelsey. You'd be like, you'll never get, we had baby dedication. Oh, I don't want to hear about it. No, but let me tell you, there was a baby that was born with this, this, and this. We prayed and I watched with my, let me show you the video. Here's our archived Facebook. Let me tell you who would be here the next week. The doctor that was working on that baby, he would be here. Every nurse, they would be here. Everybody would show up. All that we have to do is build a culture where the impossible does not exist. I've stood on this platform and watched Muslim men walk to this altar and denounce Muhammad and say yes to Jesus. I've seen in the building next door a woman that was blind be baptized and wasn't even praying for her health, but came out, Chris, you were there, but came out of the water and had 20/20 vision. And some smart aleck asked her to read something and she read it perfectly. I'm here to tell you, I don't want to talk about those things like they happened 50 years ago. I want to create a culture. We are building a culture of the impossible, because where Jesus is, impossibility does not exist. Where his spirit flows, impossibility does not exist. I want you to get ready for radical miracles, creative miracles in his presence and in your presence. Stand on your feet. I'm out of time. We're building culture. And the fourth thing, after we build people, after we build kingdom and culture, we build future. Here's the thing, church. This is what I like. We don't have to worry about building future because Jesus is already there. And if we take care of culture and creating an environment for Jesus' word to be preached, received, and miracles to be received, we don't have to talk about the future. The future will take care of itself when we take care and make sure that what we're building is Christ-centric. I'm going to leave you with one more. And I know it's 12:37, but we had a great time with all the kids. You're going to have a lot. the Super Bowl don't start for 5 hours. You're good. You're good. I promise you. 1 Chronicles 29, 1 through 5. They're going to put it all up. It's a big, lengthy passage from the Message Bible. While they're finding that, it's a passage where David is talking about Solomon to the people of Israel. David is in a not so good spot. David was a man of war and had shed too much blood, and so God said, David, you can't build the temple. You're known as a man of war. You can't build it, but I'm going to let Solomon build it. I'm going to let your son build it. Look at what he says here. I'm going to read it from my computer. It says, then David the king addressed the congregation. Remember, we're building something. David addressed the congregation, said, my son Solomon was singled out and chosen by God to do this. He's young and untested, and the work is huge. Let me pause right there. This church is 48 years old, almost 49. However, we've got a lot of new believers, young believers. You're young and you're untested. That's not a bad thing. It just means you're young. But this is what I love. What he said, he's young and untested and the work is huge. He said, this is not just a place for people to meet each other, but a house for God to meet us. Church, man, this floored me this week. We've got to change our verbiage, because we keep talking about getting people here to meet Jesus. Them meeting Jesus is not the same as Jesus meeting them. Have you ever met someone and forgot them? I've been guilty here in this church of meeting someone, shaking their hand and saying, don't forget their name, don't forget their name, don't forget their name. And by the time they hit the back door, I've already forgotten their name. David said, this is not just a place for us to talk to each other and meet each other. He said, this is a house for God to meet us. For God to meet people. I want to challenge this worship team. I want to challenge our leadership team, myself, our pastoral team, that we need to dig in and create a culture and an environment where God unimpeded can step off of his throne on a Sunday and say, I'm ready to meet the drug addict. I'm ready to meet the lonely. I'm ready to meet the person that's about to throw in the towel. I'm ready to meet the confused. I'm ready to meet the homosexual. I'm ready to meet the transgender. I'm ready to meet the person that can't stay married. I'm ready to meet the divorcee of 5 times. I'm ready to meet the religious spirit. I'm ready to meet anybody and everybody. I've done my best, David said, to get everything together for building the house for my God. All the materials necessary, gold, silver, bronze, iron, lumber, precious, varied colored stones and building stones, vast stockpiles. Furthermore, because my heart is in this. I'll post this from my social media. My heart is in this. He said, my heart is in this. He said, I can't build it like I want to. But he said, my heart is in this in addition to and beyond what I've gathered. Then he talks about his personal fortune. He said, I'm giving all of my gold and my silver. But the last thing he says, and now, how about you? Who among you is ready and willing to join in the giving? He makes this great statement. He says, this is not just a place for us to come together and sing a couple songs. He said, this is a place for God to meet us. This is his house. He said, my heart is in this. Then he turned to everybody else. He said, who's ready to give and be a part of what I'm doing? Most importantly, be a part of what God is doing and join together with us. The altar call is very simple today, and I know the time, and I'm really at this point not worried about it, because if you want to go, you can go. But I want to change David's speech and declaration to a Living Way declaration. A lot of us are young and untested. But I believe that this is not just a place for us to serve, a place for us to meet, a place for us to high five and sit together and have a couple meals and hang out. I believe this is the house of God. Living Way is the house of God, and He is here to meet us today. And when He meets us, some of us He is going to embrace and say everything is going to be okay. Some of us He's going to challenge and say, you've been that way for too long. Let's get up and move forward. Some of us He's going to take that addiction away and say, you're too valuable to spend that money and spend that time doing those things. But I want to tell you, as a pastor, my heart is in this. You can ask my family, you can ask my closest friends. 2022 and 2023, I have divested myself of a lot of my personal interest. I've sold a lot of things out of my life that were taking up too much Jesus time. And I am invested. My heart is here. But now I just want to encourage you. I've got three in the altar, but I want to encourage somebody else who's ready to give their heart to Jesus today. Who's ready to give their all to Jesus today and say, Pastor, I'm with you in God. I'm ready to build. I'm ready to promote the gospel. I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm ready to bring family. I'm ready to bring friends. I'm ready to push Jesus forward in my culture, in my family, on my job. We don't beat people over the head with Jesus, but we're always there to offer the new and living way, which is Jesus Christ. We're out of time, and I thought there'd be another 100 people in this altar today, because I'm looking for people to join with us, that we are building something here. We are building something of value. We are building something of importance. We are building something for the drug addicts. We are building something for the confused. We are building something for the people that are church hurt. We are building something for those that need a move and a real relationship with Jesus.